So praise the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 81. As you know, we're at least in verse 81. But you can go back and read the first 80 verses yourself. And you can actually do it one section and maybe one piece a day, 8 verses a day, and catch up. And so, but if you'll notice when you're reading it, again, this book of the Bible is a little unique because it in every verse it makes a reference to the Word of God. It makes a reference to God's Word, which declares to you what the most important thing for you to put on the inside of you is His Word. And the reason I'm going through this individually is because most of you have never done that. And the reason I'm going through this is because every verse, when we break it down, every verse has something to say. If you're listening to somebody talk, typically you don't want to kind of listen to the first sentence they say and then you just ignore it and turn it off and kind of let them just rattle on, and you know there's a noise in the background going on. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if somebody starts talking, well, I was thinking about this the other day. And then right then you just kind of, well, you're off onto some other thought. You're not really listening. And so I find that's true, especially in longer passages of the Scripture so many times, is that we start something, and especially this tends to be more like a poetic type of book. And so what I'm doing is saying, okay, and I feel like it's the Holy Spirit doing it, is slow down. So be patient is what I'll say today, is to be patient and hear the word of the Lord. Amen? Because a lot of time we like something that's, give me 3 points and give me 3 points and let me be done. But what we want to do is learn how to read and meditate on the Word of God. We don't need a quick snack. You know, that's what most Bible preaching is on Sunday morning, is a quick snack, you know. And you can't live on one snack a week. Amen? You have to have something you can meditate on. You have to have something you can take with you, and it'll continue to produce throughout the week. Amen? Now, granted, most of y'all are reading your Bible every day. That's good. But if the Lord is specifically focusing our time together on a particular scripture, a particular book, let's trust God. Amen? It's not that I don't realize that there's more books in the Bible. But if God's got me stuck here, then He's got you stuck here. So praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Amen. You ever had a kid that at the table that didn't want to eat his peas? You know, and you sit there until you eat those peas. I guess that's what I'm telling you today. Stay put. Well, I'm grown up. I don't have to eat my peas. Well, let the Lord speak to you this morning. Eat your peas. All right? Praise God. Father, we thank you for ministering to us today by your scripture, by your word. Thank you for the living God, the power of God. Thank you for the love of Jesus. Thank you for David's testimony in the Psalms. Thank you for this Psalm 119, 176 verses. That's a lot. Why did you do that? That's odd. So, Father, we just trust you and thank you that you've kind of set us into this place. And each one of us, just ask him to just show you something today that you didn't see, you didn't know. And we just give you glory and praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Verse 81 says, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Now, there's a distinction here. And as we continue, this particular letter is cough. Say cough, just to try it out. Check it out. See how it comes off your tongue. Cough. You know, we're learning Hebrew one letter at a time. It's helpful to you. All right? Every one of these headings is a Hebrew letter. There's 22 of them, and we're on number 11. So we're halfway there. We're halfway through. Praise the Lord. And he says here, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. There's a distinction here. Can you tell? Can you see what it is? My soul, that's something that belongs to me. That's something that is that's something I'm referring to over here. My soul, over here. But I, well, who's that referring to? Millions. That's referring to me. So I've got, a soul is something I have, I possess, but I, who am I? Who am I? Am I this body? Well, what's going to happen to this body? It's going to go away. It's going to die. It's going to get old and finally fall off. So I have a soul, but I, who is that? That is who you are. That is your spirit man. God is a spirit, the scripture says, and those that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. When you are born from above, when you are born again, according to what Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. Is that when you're born from above or born from above, that you are born of the Spirit. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You don't know where he comes from or where he's going. So you, if you're born of the Spirit, that is your identity. Your identity is the fact that you are a spirit. So I'm making this distinction here. Over in one of Peter's letters, it makes that distinction. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. So we've got a New Testament reference that Paul makes to three parts of a person, of a human person: the spirit, soul, and the body. Here, even in the Old Testament, David has that recognition, or he's just writing down what God said. He says, "My soul faints." My soul. See, your soul is that part of you that learns how to operate in this world. That soul of you is the one that from the very beginning of your existence, coming out of the womb, it learns how to, you know, get put up your dukes and learn how to fight life through. Is here's how you're going to decide, you know, how you're going to make it in life. And it depends on maybe your parents, it maybe depends on your neighborhood, you know, it depends on your siblings. You know, you learn by doing. You learn by experience. How many know that? Is that when you're growing up in your home and you're with, you know, with brothers and sisters and mom and dad, how do you grow up? You grow up by experience. How do you learn to talk? You learn to speak. If you're in France, you learn to speak French. If you're in Russia, you learn to speak Russian. So you're learning how to live in with your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That part of you that your will, which decides, okay, here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. Your emotions, how you respond to various circumstances. Your mind, how you learn various skills and ways of getting along. But this soul is without God. This soul is just out there on its own. This soul is out there on its own, and he says in this verse, my soul faints for your salvation. So David is already aware, he's an adult, he's aware, he's been up and going for a while. He's aware of God's presence, of God, of the kingdom of God. He's aware of the laws of the Jewish law. He's aware of God and the nation of Israel, his king. So he says here, my soul faints for your salvation. So God has already made provision for his salvation. We know that. You can talk about Abraham. Abraham had the promise from God that you're going to become the father of many nations. And then Moses comes and delivers those people and creates a nation by what? A set of what? Laws. That's what we are. The United States is a nation of laws. That's the whole thing. We're not a nation of kings. We're a nation of laws. Israel, God is in charge, but Israel was a nation of laws. Just like the United States is today, it's a nation of laws, of people who know God. So that was basically the whole agenda was, here's laws from God, and here are people ruled under God. They didn't have kings. How many know they didn't have kings? They didn't have kings until they decided, hey, everybody else got a king. Can we have a king? We'd like a king. We'd like to get a king. And God said, you know, you really don't want a king. It's not a good idea. Number one, he's going to conscript your kids into the army. Number two, he's going to lay taxes on you. Number three, you know, and on and on and on. So, you know, so that's our first mistake, is we decide that we want somebody over us. You don't want anybody over you. You just want to be under God. You know, we have a very basic set of laws in this country which says, don't kill somebody, and mind your own business, make your own money, and you're free to make a contract, and mind your own business, and worship God. That's basically, except for the worship God part, is you're free to worship God. The thing is you're free to worship. It's not even a law that you, in this nation, that you have to worship God. You get to. Amen? So the laws are, the nation of laws is, don't get anybody else's way, and just take care of your own stuff. And now we got more laws than we know what to do with, because, you know, we got to keep everybody down. But the fact is that now he says, so your soul learned how to do that. But then what's the second line in that verse? But I hope in your word. My soul faints for your salvation. Why would you faint? Why would you be fainting? It's because...
Overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed, okay, yeah. You say you'd be fainting because you're overwhelmed. It's just too much. The whole world is just... This whole thing is too much for me. It's too much for me. And how many know God kind of made you that way? God made you so that you would not... that you would be dependent on Him.
Amen.
He didn't make you to be independent of Him. He made you to be dependent on Him. And see, that's why people fall apart. That's why people, you know, take drugs and do all kinds of things to try to cope with their inadequacy, even though they'll say, well, I'm not inadequate. Well, why are you trying to snuff out all your feelings and all your everything that you're trying to get done is being overwhelmed by, you know, things that you can't get done. It's just too much. And then when it comes out, either maybe you don't drink, maybe you don't take drugs, maybe you just yell at your wife or yell at your kids. Maybe it comes out that way. You know, that's also a problem. Amen. Or you have other kinds of addictions that you do. You have something that you try to do to get yourself free from the fact that your soul is fainting for His salvation. You know, you want to find something. Anything but God. People like to find anything but God, because they think God's a cosmic killjoy. He's out to steal my fun and to slow me down. And no, I tell you what, God's out to give you the very best. He's already done it. He's already given you the very best. Just give Him thanks. Give Him worship. And see, the only thing He's going to ask you to do is kind of lay off of the stuff that you've been putting in its place. Just lay off the stuff that you've been trying to use to get satisfaction or relief in your life. You know, you're trying to take all these things and trying to make all these actions to get relief, or you want to get with the right crowd, you want to get with the right people. And that's not just for kids. I mean, adults do that. You got to get in the right crowd. You got to get in the right group. You got to get in the right business group. You got to get in the right social group. Amen? That becomes a problem. See, your first focus is this. Is once you get God, you get everything. Romans 8:32 says, he who offered up his own son, how shall he not also freely give us all things? Amen. So everything else comes up. You get Jesus, you get everything else. You get Jesus, you get everything. Jesus came out on the lake of the Sea of Galilee, walking on the water in the middle of a storm. Here He comes. Peter says, hey, can I walk with you? Sure, comes out. You know, I won't tell that part. But once Jesus got into the boat, what happened? Boom. You're at the land. You're right there at the land. I mean, they're in the middle of the lake. Once Jesus got in the boat, you're at your destination. Now, what does that mean? That means everything you need is with having a relationship with Jesus. David's realizing that. But you know, it just takes 176 verses to get there. You found that? It takes 176 verses to get there. You know, you can't just get it in one. Why? Because you get this soul thing going on. Now, here's one of the main things I want you to get today is don't be impatient with your soul. I mean, you're going to carry it with you till you're dead, and it's going to be a problem. And you're going to sin. You're going to mess up. And see, religion says, well, now that you messed up, boy, God's mad at you. That's a lie. Amen? That's a lie. He's not. He actually gave you a fire extinguisher for that. You know, he has actually provided for you a bucket of water or a fire extinguisher or bug spray or, you know, whatever it is you grab to take care of an immediate situation. He's already given you that. Amen? That's what, when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. What's his name? Our advocate means a lawyer. Somebody who's arguing our case as Jesus. Jesus said, I died for that. And you say, amen, thank you. And the Father has forgiven you. All that's done in a transaction because your problem is you don't know that's happening. You don't know that you're forgiven. You don't know. All you have to say is, thank you. Father, I just messed that up. Thank you that you love me. Because people will get, they'll get way off into guilt and condemnation. And so that's one of the enemies, that's one of the devil's greatest tricks, is to get you into some idea that I got so far from God, I got so far out in the deep that I can't get back. You know, that's not true. You're at the land. Can you imagine somebody flailing around trying to keep from drowning and they're sitting on laying on the beach? You're laying on the beach and you're flailing around like a beach whale, you know, and you think you're drowning. No, you're okay. But I mean, the devil loves to do that. He loves to get you thinking. And in fact, he does that with religious people. Because the idea about religious people, oh, they're good people. But the problem is with good people is that, number one, they may think it's them being good, and when they take a breath or when they relax, they're no longer good. And then in their mind, God's mad at them. Or they just give up and just go off, you know, and just do whatever, you know. Be thinking that God is mad. He's not. I mean, he who offered up his own son, is that guy mad? He's not mad. He loved you from the foundation of the world. So the distinction between my soul and me is the fact that my soul is still operating in some level of being deceived that God's not happy with me. Some level. And so if you'll get the enemy's number, and that he can't get you on that anymore. And you know, some days he'll wake you up in the middle of the night. You know, something will wake you up in the middle. And you know how you do. You get waking up out of a bad dream or something. You know, you think you're somewhere else or something. And you have that. And all of a sudden, but the Holy Spirit comes. Because you have meditated on his word, his word becomes a predominant part of your thought life. It's not something where's my Bible? I got to get my Bible. You know, it's a big book, so you know, where's the right verse? No, it doesn't matter. Because once you have that word on the inside of you, it answers every question. I don't mean it answers every question with, well, that's page 342. No, it answers every question that I'm okay. I'm okay. Everything's going my way. Even though the devil is a liar and people are out to get me, my enemies, you know. And we like to think in a country like this, you know, we really don't have enemies. We just got people who don't care for us as much as other people. You know, they're not people out with swords, you know, unless they're jihadists or something like that, you know, who are coming to get us. But that's typically it's not you, you know, individually, you know. And so what I'm saying to you today is let's understand the distinction between our un the part of our unrenewed soul. What is that? Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. Don't use the world like we talked about, the world's idea of, okay, here's how you deal with a problem. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformation is not something you do, it's something God does through His Word. That's a weird thing. How can a word do that? Oh, words do that all the time. Words do that all the time. I tell you something, you just go off and, you know, take my word for it. See, the Word of God, though, it brings faith. Romans 10:17 says, "Hearing faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God." So how do you hear God? Get into His Word. Faith cometh by hearing. How do you get faith? Hey, I don't even have hardly any faith. I just got enough faith to open the Bible. Well, keep reading the Word of God. Keep reading the Bible. Keep knowing that He loves you. Knowing that God is on your side and He's for you. Now, so he says, my soul faints. So everybody kind of get that now? That big long talk was, my soul faints. It's like, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. For your salvation. But I, so here comes you, and you're going to help, you are going to help your soul along, right? You're going to help your soul along by bringing in the Word of God. So your spirit comes along and informs your soul. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. Your spirit comes along full of the Word of God and begins to inform or preach to your soul. And your soul is changed. The renewing of your mind, over there in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or demonstrate or show what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Okay, so in other words, that by that transformation, the proving just means it shows up. Proving something or demonstrating something is that it just shows up. It begins to change what you're outworking, the outward part of your life. And that's your body in many cases. Your body is, okay, I'm going to go do what God told me to do, and whether it's go apply for that job, or whether it's love that neighbor, or take somebody something, or help somebody's circumstance, or somebody's issue, or somebody's problem. So the distinction is that God's Word is becoming a part of your thought process, but it's not something that you perform the finished work, He does. Okay? So He is performing the finished work. What I'm getting to you is the mechanics of how I've grown. Is that, you know, I'm not afraid anymore. Or not, rejection. You know, fear of rejection. So you'd always either not do something, not show up, not do this. Because, again, that's an enemy thing, is a fear of rejection. And so what you do is you meditate on God's Word. You think, what does that mean? That's a buzzword that we do, meditate. That just means to think. To think about God's Word. To think at the actual Word of God. You begin to read it. It becomes part of what you're thinking about, what your thought process is. What does God say about me? What does God say about me and my circumstances or my situations? You know, is that... And you begin to step out and do things you normally wouldn't have done. Yeah, I tell the story. I was on the back of a... Janet and I were in college, and we were in a Baptist Student Union. It's a campus organization on different campuses. And we were going to a leadership retreat. And I was sitting on the very back of this bus going to Abilene, Texas, to a university out there, and Janet was on the very front. And here's what I don't, at that time, I was not somebody who would get up and, I wouldn't get up and go talk to anybody. You know, even going to that organization, I would go, I would say, well, he says, go to the Baptist student union. He said, God, I'm not Baptist. He said, you are now. So, for all intents and purposes in this situation, you are a Baptist. So, go there. And so I go to this thing and start. They're going on a trip, and so I get on this bus, and I'm sitting on the back of the bus. And God says, "I want you to go up the aisle of this bus and meet everybody on the bus." See, I was already born again, but I had this issue that I was dealing with that God wanted to fix. He wanted, I probably couldn't have got up here, and talked to you at that time because, I would have thought you'd have rejected me. And that would have been a problem. I just would not want to do that. Some of you don't have that issue. Some of you got other issues. So I walked up the bus, and I just began to meet every single person on the bus and just greet them and say, hallelujah. God bless you. I don't know if it was Baptist. I don't know if I said hallelujah. But, I said, good morning, brother.
My name is David, I think.
Yeah, my name is David. Who are you? Yeah. Oh, you remember the first words I spoke? It's awesome. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so we did that, and finally I go up and meet Janet, and she's going to be a missionary or something, and I say, ooh, good. She's already been called to be a pastor. You'll be a pastor, and you're rejected. How can you be a pastor if you're a rejected person? Well, God's going to fix that. How can you do anything if God's called you to something, but he's going to have to fix you? He's going to have to produce in you that which is ready to set you off into that course. All right? So, all I'm saying there is God healed me of rejection. Why? Because of his word. Because he said, no, I loved you, and I'll never leave you or forsake you. So he sent me up on through there, and then, God changed me. He changed me. I'm changed. Amen? God's changing you.
And gave you a wife.
And gave me a wife all at the same time. Boy, he's a multitasker. He can do it. He can do everything. Amen? So everybody say this with me. It said, my soul faints for your salvation. But I point to yourself. I hope in your word. Okay, now look at verse 82. My eyes fail for your word, saying, "When will you comfort me?" So again, it's just a rehearsal of David, and he goes through phases. You know this? You wake up and you kind of go through just a period of just like, oh gosh, everything's not going my way. And everything's kind of going down. I don't know how I'm going to make it today. Anybody like that? You get things that just are just not happening. And every time that happens, you just come right back around with God's Word. Amen. That's what David does in the Psalms. David does that in the Psalms. You ever notice about the end of a Psalm? He's like, yoo-hoo! At the beginning, he's, oh, all my enemies are coming after me. Oh, God. And then in 17 verses, he's great.
You are wonderful.
Isn't that great? In 17 verses, like 20 minutes, 5 minutes, the guy is just awesome. Now, I don't know how long it took him to write those 17 verses. It might have been all day, but I tell you, he said, that's what happens. Is the word of God is in you, and it takes you from despair to joy. As you meditate, all that means is to roll it over in your mind and think about it. It doesn't mean to hum. It doesn't mean to hum with your legs crossed, on top of a flagpole or something. Hum. It's not that kind of meditation. Meditation is just rolling something over, letting it take root in your mind and your heart and your soul. That's what meditation. The scripture says, "Let the words of my mouth might be in the psalm. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." Well, what would be acceptable? Something that agrees with what he said. You want to agree with what God said, because everything he said is on your side. Everything he said is on your behalf. And when something comes in that disagrees with that, you want to recognize that immediately, right? You want to recognize that problem immediately and say, no, get out of here. When the dog comes in and the dog tends to pee on the rug, what do you do with that dog? Get out of here. Because you don't want that dog to pee on your rug. You can tell we've got a problem there these days. And so that's what you do with a thought. That's what you do with a thought. Shoo that thought right out of there. Because that thought comes in to destroy you. Listen, That thought comes in to destroy you. It comes in to, it'll wag you down the street. That thought will take you to, I mean, it'll take you to the airport and put you on an airplane and you go somewhere you don't want to go. Isn't that true? Everybody know that about a thought? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, taking every thought captive to what? To the obedience of the Word of God. What? Man, can you love that? Taking every thought captive to the obedience of the Word of God. So every thought has to be obedient to God. If that's not God's thought, out. Get out of here. So you say, no, that doesn't apply to me. Because I'm filled with the living God. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. The love of God dwells on the inside. Well, you don't love that person. You hate that person. Isn't that person ugly? You know, they're mean to you. No, I love that person. Well, no, you don't. You're messing up my plan, said the devil. Because, or there's a problem going on in your life. There's a problem going on with you. Is that, those things which you are, you had one idea. And God said, no, I've got another idea. You know, and I'm going to accomplish my idea, and it's going to bless you, and you're going to be blessed by that. And so you listen to what I've told you. You know, you thought a good idea was to punch the guy in the face, or you thought a good idea was to go get drunk, or to do something to satisfy your sadness or your irritation with a problem. That is the soul part. That's the part that said punch him in the face. You know, that's the part that said, go get something to soothe yourself. Go get a piece of big pie. That's what I would do. Amen. Get a big bucket of ice cream and just and a bag of chips. Amen. Glory to God. And the best time to do that is at 11 o'clock at night. And then what typically happens? You just get so big. Amen. See, that's the kind of thing the devil loves to do. Then it gets you under condemnation because look at you, fat thing. You don't even discipline yourself. See, the enemy likes to lead you off into something that you, or someplace that you don't want to go. You get on that plane and you go to someplace you don't want to go. You know, and the scripture says that. He's going to take you someplace where you don't want to go. Remember what he said to Peter? Right now you're going where you want to go, but someday there's somebody's going to tie you up and take you somewhere else you don't want to go. Now, that was under persecution for the gospel. All right, now looking back at this verse. So my eyes, verse 82, my eyes. Now, what do your eyes do? They see. They see what? What do they see? They see what's physically in front of you, isn't it? So your eyes are seeing physically what's in front of you. So that is your first, that can be your first deception, is seeing what's in front of you. And then you'll just take stock of that and you'll make a decision based on what's in front of you rather than what he said. What did he say in verse 1? I hope in your word. I hope in your word. So my eyes fail. This is Psalm 119 verse 82. My eyes fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me? Saying, when will you comfort me? How many know you're comforted from the foundation of the world? You're looking for comfort, but God said you're already comforted. That just sounds strange, doesn't it? No, you are comforted. But in your spirit, the part of you that's born from above, you're totally at peace. I'm at peace. Now, no matter what may be coming at me, or even what my mind or my emotions are saying, see, many people rule by their emotions and by the eye and the emotion. What I see is then what I feel. Anybody notice that? What I see is what I feel. I just, like, I see something going wrong, and I just immediately am just, that just takes me down. Just takes me out of commission. I'm gone for you know, the rest of the day. Does anybody know anybody like that besides yourself? I'm just done for the rest of the day because something happened. Who has that much power over you? Only the Holy Ghost. Only the Holy Spirit in Christ. In Christ, only the Holy Spirit. But now, we tend to let other things come in and have that same power over us, don't we? But you ever notice that? It's like, I mean, if somebody can ruin your day, what kind of power do they have over you? No, no. Glory to God. You know, I just forgive that guy right now in Jesus' name. I just forgive him. I just let him go. Glory to God. You know what? I bet you need to know Jesus. You know, just come back to their desk and help them. Amen? Whether you do that or not, or you're praying for them, or just thanking God for that your joy is full. That's it. See, you can never do anything unless you're first, you know, unless you're first joyful, filled with joy, filled with peace, and at rest. Amen? Nothing else can happen. Jesus was never upset. Jesus was never nervous. He was never surprised. Amen? He was just, God, how many know God's never surprised? Therefore, he's never disappointed. Right? Yeah. I mean, he knows everything's going to happen today. He's already seen it from the foundation of the world. So, he's not nervous. He's not afraid. He doesn't get disappointed. Disappointment means I expected one thing and something else happened that I wasn't counting on. And when it did happen, I didn't like it either. Amen? That's disappointment, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, or surprise. It's like, oh, wow. You know, and even surprise and joy is great, but just don't go too far, you know, because something else is going to immediately. I'll tell you, some people just get so excited about being excited. Amen? You ever notice that? You ever got somebody who's just so excited about getting excited? But then when the next thing comes on, they're just boom, bam. They're just on the ground. They're just wiped out. You know, because they live for that mountaintop. They live for that, you know, thing. You know, there's some church people do that. I mean, they go from church to church to church to church to worship service to worship service to worship service, looking for, a high, looking for an emotional thing. It's not bad. It's just don't count on it and don't make that your God. Don't make that who God is to you is some church experience or some Holy Ghost experience. No, huh? No. You can enjoy that while it's there, but then you just continue to move on and to grow because you know you're not at the end. The Word of God says that that began a good work in you is going to complete it tomorrow. No. He says he's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What day is that? That's the day Jesus comes back. So you're not going to be perfected ever in this body or in this world. You're not going to be perfected. You're going to be, God can work in you and through you and things will change and your actions will become more aligned with the Scripture, but you're still going to mess up. You still trip or fall or something, and right now we're right at that point. We're back to the fact that don't get discouraged. Just go back to the Scripture that says Jesus paid it all. He paid for all of it. Father, I just confess that to you right now. Bad word, wicked word that I put on that person, that response that I gave to them, or that I ignored them. But see, people just don't get guilty over it. Don't waste a day on it. Just say it. Receive the promise. Receive forgiveness today and right now in this hour. Jesus doesn't take a week to forgive you. He doesn't take any time at all. In fact, you're already forgiven. He just wants you to accept the promise. Just go in there and pay the bill. Checking account's full. Just write the check. Bill came in. Oh, you sinned. Oh, okay. Jeff, forgiven. Yeah. And you get that, and you're done. And you walk on out. Woo! Glory to God. Having a good time. Thank you, Jesus. I'm having a blessed day. Amen? Because you're not under it. Amen. We're talking about the difference, really, but we're ending up. We're talking about Psalm 119, beginning of verse 81, but what we're talking about in particular right now is getting you out of guilt and condemnation, getting you joyful and distinguishing between your soul and your spirit, between the soul and the spirit. The soul is how you operate in this world, how you learned how, and the spirit is how God is transforming you into his image in this world. Amen? See, and you know, somebody's talked about regrets. Regrets are the same thing. Regrets are just about like guilt. It's something you say no, because that's something God is not bringing a regret. He's not bringing that to you. He's not putting that on you. Amen? He's not putting that on you. That's something that you're bringing back or the enemy is bringing back. And so you say no, and you come back to the Word of God, which made a promise. It said, if you've sinned, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And moving forward, he is in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he's working out your salvation with fear and trembling. What's the fear and trembling part? Philippians 2, 12 and 13. What's the fear and trembling part? It's the fact that you're not doing it. It's not you. You're not doing it. You're not. Your flesh doesn't get to do it your way. That's what the fear and trembling is. The fear and trembling is the flesh wants to do it a certain way, but the Spirit says, Spirit may say, don't do anything. I wanted to fix it. I wanted to fix it. Anybody ever done like that? I mean, you're just one of these people. You're OCD. You got to always get up and fix it. Let it be. Why don't you just worship me? Okay. Just worship. Just worship. And don't fix a thing. Sometimes, if the tub's overflowing, fix it. Turn it off. You know, I'm not saying don't do that. But what I'm saying is your emotions and your desires and something that's just kind of twisted on the inside of you. Does that make sense? I've got to do something about this right now. Here's what you do. As you stop, you say, Father, I can't fix this. Even though you think on the one side, you say, I can fix this. I'm good at fixing this stuff. But God says, don't fix it. Don't fix it. Right now, I just want you to worship me. Right now, I just want you to know that I am God. To know that you are my beloved. I love you. And I'm taking everything that you have and I'm working it for your good. Over in Romans 8:28, where he says, all things are worked together for good. Well, we hate that. Some people don't like that scripture. No. All things work together. It's a promise, isn't it? All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Who's that? Somebody born again. Somebody born of God. He says, all things are working together for my good. They can't work any other way. Now today it doesn't look like it. Today it looks like everything's messing up. But all things are working together for my good. Now, I'm just going to encourage, let's all say that together. All things are working together for my good.
All things are working together for my good.
They can't work any other way. It's like a cat. You know, you drop it and what happens? Cat always lands on the 4 feet. I don't know how they do it. It's a Romans 8:28 animal. He lands on his feet. No matter. You ever done that when you were a kid? Took a cat and just... Well, the girls... Nah, girls did it too. And, not some girls. You did something else. But you ever done that? You took a cat and you just kind of, no. I mean, not mean. You just wanted to see what would happen. You just flung that cat, and I mean, that cat just all of a sudden just somehow.
No, but you didn't even have a cat.
That's probably why. Wait, I go to my friend's house. I go to Mike's house. He had a cat. Yeah, it was kind of one of the things in the toy box. And so, you know, you do that, and then everything. Everything's working together for your good. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You know, the amen is your is the I hope in your word part. That's your spirit man. Is I do. So you can confidently say, you know, do you believe that? Yes. Because
yep.
You're not checking with your head. You're not checking with your. You're not checking with flesh. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, my eyes fail, so that's my soul is failing. My eyes fail for your word. When will you comfort me? So that's, you know, I'm already comforted. You know, I'm already comforted. David knows that. But you're just expressing your emotion to God. When, and that's not a problem. That's not a problem. Just know that He is with you. And that's what David figures out. It's okay to cry out. You know, it's okay to cry out, but just stay there and God is going to meet you. He will meet you as you fill yourself up with His promise, with His word. He's going to meet you. I encourage you, read the Psalms, read the Proverbs, and read the New Testament. Read the Psalms, Proverbs, and the Old Testament is all good. In fact, there's great stuff in there, but sometimes you run into, you get out wading into the deep. Because so many times in the Old Testament, he's talking about Israel walking away from him and the trouble that that comes when you walk away from him. So I'm not saying don't read the Old Testament. What I'm saying is sometimes the Old Testament can get a little bit deep, and you get off into, you know, and I will bring this upon you. And you go, oh, that's me and that's God. He's laying things on me. No, I'm going to encourage you as a Christian, as a believer in Christ Jesus, in the redemption by his blood, to try to stick early into the New Testament and also the Psalms and the Proverbs, because those are the things that will bring you encouragement as a young believer or as somebody who's in a tight spot. Verse 83 says, and here's a continuation of the thing, of the soul going, I become like a bottle in the smoke. Now, back in the old days, a bottle was a skin, like a wineskin. And so a bottle was a wineskin, you would always oil it and keep it moist and supple and keep it usable. And can you imagine what would happen if you left a bottle in the smoke? It would dry and it would crack and it would leak, right? So it would dry and crack and leak. And so he says, I'm like a bottle in the smoke. I'm dry, crack, and leaking. Yet I do not forget your statutes. Now you'll remember in this psalm, every reference like that is to the Word of God. The judgments, statutes, precepts, His law, His Word, all of these things, there's about 10 different references that talk about, that refer to God's Word. And so that's you, and it's referenced in almost every single verse in this psalm. All right? Now, so, yet I do not forget your statutes. So, even though I feel cracked, dry, and leaking, I don't forget your word. I don't forget your statutes. Now, the statutes aren't, okay, here's what you have to do. The statutes are his statutes, what he has to do. God's bound by his own word. And yet, when we agree with his word, then we're changed. All right? Now, verse 84. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on them that persecute me? Now, if you look back in verse 69 there in that same psalm, he says, the proud have forged a lie against me. We talked about that once before. Is that if they forge something you make, something you make as you forge it, you know, is, or in this case, you know, I've likened it to the proud have forged a lie, or they have, if you forge something, you make something. Maybe they framed me. I said they framed me. They forged a lie against me, or they framed me. They put me in a particular situation with respect to everybody maybe who is involved in my life. So maybe the proud, somebody has put you in a box in your personal relationship somewhere. He says the proud have forged a lie against. Oh, the proud just means sinners. That's all it means. People who don't trust God. People who don't love Jesus. So the proud have forged, this is verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me. Now, get back to verse 85. Verse 84. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on them that persecute me? The 85 says, the proud have digged pits for me, which are not after your law. Okay. Well, if the proud have digged a pit for you, if circumstances and things in this world have created a pit for you, and it's something you're going to fall in, something that's going to trip you up, something that's going to take advantage of you, what does he say about that? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after your law. If they're not after his law, what applies to me? His law. His law applies. So therefore, those pits that are digged for me don't apply to me. Amen. Somebody's set me up to fail. Well, what if they actually succeeded? I still can't fail. What if it went all the way out and I had to go to court and I had to go to prison? I still haven't failed. You know, because God is with me. Remember Peter and remember Paul and Silas in the jail. What did they do at midnight?
Worship and
praise. They just praise God. They just praise God at midnight in the prison. Were they in prison lawfully or legally or righteously? No. But what did they do? They just praise God. Then God came in, sent an angel, broke them out. So no matter what the circumstance is, always rejoice. Always give thanks. He said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, in everything, what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen? This is you. This is you. I will bless the Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen? So this is who you are. He said, the proud dig pits for me, which are not after your law. And over here, if you looked, you're right there in Psalm 119. Look at verse 75. He says, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that you in faithfulness have afflicted me. Now, set on that one for a second. Because over in Hebrews 12, he says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Now, what that means is that there are circumstances that will come along, but what they're going to do is all you're going to do is grow. All you're going to do is grow in the middle of that circumstance because you're filled with the Spirit. And so what you're doing is growing. You're growing in the middle of that circumstance because you're rejoicing in the middle of the circumstance. You're rejoicing in the middle of the trouble. See, don't let a trouble you. Don't let a trouble take, again, why we said it earlier, don't let it take up your day. Don't let it take up your mind and rule your mind. What rules your mind is God's promise. What rules your mind is God's word. You in faithfulness have afflicted me. In other words, you've allowed afflictions to come. You've allowed an affliction to come and it is no trouble to me. It's no problem for me. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens or disciplines. Amen. He's disciplining. That is, he's working discipline. He's creating discipline in you. What is that discipline to do? Discipline to rejoice in trouble. Discipline to rejoice in this world. He is coming again. But until he comes again, and if you don't learn to rejoice in this world, you're going to be miserable. And you're going to try to find something else to solve your problem. But I'm going to rejoice in this world and know that God is with me, for me, and he's working in me that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And that's just not me. That's you. Say, that's me. Amen. Hallelujah. Every morning. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not saying this is any good about me, but I don't remember the last time I got up complaining about anything. And I mean, everybody complain about it. I got two disabled granddaughters. I had a son who was just kind of the offshoot, you know, and I'm married to Janet. And just well, everybody's got something. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, Judah goes to school and he's got somebody who's a thorn in his flesh. So he praises God every day. He walks in the door going, "Glory to God, man! I love that guy. He's awesome. He's a blessing." Amen. Isn't that powerful? I mean, just think of the worst person you have to deal with. You know, in a given situation, just say, "Lord, I thank you that I bless them. Thank you that they're making me run to you." Amen. And I know, this is not a light thing. I mean, there are situations that there's very troublesome especially with close relationships. I get that. I'm not making light of that. But the fact is that is the most important, is those close relationships where you learn how to rejoice in the middle of trouble and to give thanks, because that's going to change you. Forgiveness changes you. Amen? It may not change that person, but forgiveness changes you. But it also will change the way that you relate to that person, because you're no longer angry. You're not swole up and red-faced when you come find them. When you come see them, you're at peace because there's nothing they have on you. See, unforgiveness is like the devil's got a handle on you. He can grab you. I can't remember where I said this. Somebody loved it and said, "I said you're like a greased pig. is that the devil can't even get a hold of you. He's trying to he wants to have a handle on you so he can grab you and hold you still, like some kind of unforgiveness where you just don't like this brother or sister or your wife or your son. Maybe it's just something you just can't forgive, right? But that's something you say, no, I forgive it. I let it go totally. Well, I'll do that when they repent. No, don't wait till they repent. No. Why should you wait to get free until somebody else repents? Why are you waiting on somebody else? Why don't you just let them go? Father, in Jesus' name, I just let them go. I just let them go in Jesus. And I let that person go. Love them in Jesus. Thank you that you love them. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm no longer bound by that situation. I'm not bound by it. I'm done. Hallelujah. Ooh. See, you're free. It's good to be free. Because in faithfulness, he's afflicted you. That is, anything that comes your way, he brought it up because so he wanted to set you free from it. Amen? That's what the affliction is. The affliction is the flesh doesn't get to rule. The flesh doesn't get, your old man, your soul, doesn't get to decide how you're going to grow up in the Lord. He says, you need to let go of that. And when he says let go of that, just agree. That's all you do. You just agree. See, he's transforming you. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Romans 12:2, by the renewing of your mind. All right, now let's keep looking here a little bit further. So they dig pits for me which aren't after your law. That's verse 85. 86, all your commandments are faithful. Woo! Okay, we're starting to roll into it. See, he was having a hard time there. He was saying that everything wasn't going his way, but all of a sudden things are going his way. You know, your mind begins to change as you meditate on God's word. Your mind begins to change. Amen. Jesus, he bore all of your sin on the cross. And he's not saying, okay, now that you're born again, get busy doing good. He said, no, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. In fact, he said, don't go anywhere until you receive the Holy Spirit. He said, you're not equipped. So you have the Holy Spirit come and dwell on the inside of you. And you're rejoicing and you're giving thanks. He says, rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
Whoa, that's too much. That's your first sin. You didn't rejoice. Eh? So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. All right, so he said it twice. So what he wants you to do is let him do what he started. Remember what we said? He said, and Paul said, this is it, the work, the good work that he began in you, he will complete it. Not Paul, but Jesus. Through the Holy Ghost. He will complete it. So when you wake up rejoicing, all of a sudden you begin to hear the Lord say, go do this, go do this, go forgive so-and-so, give thanks, go to work. He might say, get up, take a shower, and go to work, you know. If you don't hear anything else, take a shower, get up, go to work, go do what you do. And the Lord will lead you. Amen? And he'll lead you, but he'll lead you in joy. And when you wake up with a thought of depression or anger or jealousy or irritation, say, Father, I just give that to you right now. I just give that to you right now. And it may just stay around. It may stay around for a couple hours until you learn. You're learning how to do this. You're learning that, you know what? He loves me. He absolutely loves me. I'm absolutely forgiven. I'm in his presence daily. You know, you don't have to go find God. You just wake up and say, Father, thank you that you love me. And you're in his presence. You're already in his presence. Why? Because he lives on the inside of you. He's right there. So verse 86, all your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. Let's see here. All right. Psalm 106 says, and the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. And the waters helped me. And the waters covered their enemies. And there wasn't one of them left. You know, how many enemies did Jesus have that were not defeated because he rose from the dead? How many know you're risen from the dead?
Yeah.
How many know that you're risen from the dead? Amen. From the heart. You're a new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Any man who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. New creation. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. These are all scriptures we know. It's not like I'm giving you new stuff. It's just, you remember it. You remember it. 2 Peter chapter 1, where verse 12 through 15, Peter talked about the thing. I'm going to keep preaching the same things to you, even though you know them, so that when I'm dead, you'll always have them in your remembrance. I'm going to preach the same thing. So like Pastor Jim, you know, he preaches the same thing over and over and over again. Is you're totally wicked, and talk about your flesh, and you're totally, absolutely wicked. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do to improve, but the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you. He's the one that does the work. Amen? How many know He's the one that does the work? Amen? All right. Just a little bit more. 87 says, they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not your precepts. There it is again. I forsook not your precepts. I didn't forsake your precepts. So what's the key? Is when an opportunity comes, always trust the word. Always trust the promise. Always trust the promise. I'm forgiven. In fact, I'm forgiven. That person who is coming against me, or that situation that's being ugly to me, if there's people involved, they're forgiven. I forgive them. I just forgive them. Hey, you got all kinds of a circumstance you can come up with, and I'm just going to tell you, first of all, forgive them, then figure out the circumstance. We're not talking about legal. We're not going to talk about legal issues. What we're talking about is heart issues. We're talking about you getting free from bondage. And what that is you forgiving somebody. Amen? So a lot of people say, well, I don't want to forgive them, then I couldn't sue them. No, you forgive them. You forgive them. You let them go. Just let them go. Because, again, when you're letting somebody go, who are you letting go? Yourself. Amen. I mean, you get healed if you'll do that. You get healed if you'll forgive. I'm telling you. I mean, you may have ulcers. You may have all kinds of problems in your body. It's because you're full of bitterness. And you say, Father, I just forgive it right now. Father, heal me. And I'll tell you what, it'll change your health. It'll change you. All right? They'd almost consume me upon the earth, but I forsook not your precepts. I'm going to stick with it. And it said, Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Well, God's on your side. He's talking about Israel. He says, I am the Lord your God, I change not. No matter what you've done, I don't change. He's always on your side. He's always on your side. He didn't change his mind. Well, you did bad. I'm changing my mind. No, he didn't say that. He says, therefore, you sons of Jacob. Who's Jacob? Israel. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So he said, they'd almost consumed me, but I didn't forsake your precepts. All right? And then verse 88, we'll look at that one last. It says, quicken me after your loving kindness. Quicken me. Okay, that's a request. That's a prayer. Lord, come on the inside of me, which He already is in Christ. Quicken me. Quicken me after your loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of your mouth. When He births you into the kingdom of God, He is going to keep you're going to keep the testimony of His mouth. You're going to begin to walk what we call chair six. You start out in justification by faith. You went through discipleship, and then you begin to demonstrate Romans 12:2 that you might prove, demonstrate the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, or the testimonies. Quicken me, make me alive. That word quicken means to make me alive. After your loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of your mouth. That's your testimony. That's your declaration. When you quicken me according to your loving kindness, which is his salvation, back up at verse 81. From that point, he's going to begin through me to keep the testimony of his mouth, which is his word, which is his promise, which is loving my neighbor, which is blessing and not cursing, which is forgiving. Amen? That's it. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing." The Spirit quickens. The flesh profits nothing. So it's the Spirit that makes you alive. The flesh has no part in it, no help. It offers no help at all. Amen? The flesh offers no help at all. So we just want to let the flesh die. And you have a flesh, but in the flesh that's where sin dwells. Okay, that's where sin. Romans says it's in your members. Romans six and seven. Paul talks about it in Romans 7. It's the thing that I don't want to do is the thing I do, and the thing I don't want to do is the thing I do. Who's going to help me? And he says, "I thank my God through my Lord Jesus Christ." And then he rolls into Romans 8. There's therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Made me free from the law of sin and death. Are you free? Okay, now. So, we are walking through Kaf. And again, we kind of slowly walk through it. And we start out with, "My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word." Did you get anything? Did you get anything? I hope you did. Hope the Word of God has helped you. Amen? Because he's moved into the inside of you and he's changing you. Your soul faints for his salvation. That is the part of you that is trying to make it in this world. But I hope, that is the born again man, hopes in his Word. All right? So again, we've done 8 verses in the Psalm. And I want to do one more thing. Verse 81, I want you, if you got your Bible, I want you to find me the reference to the Word of God in each one of these verses. Verse 81, what does it say? I'll give you an example. I hope in your Word. Okay? Verse 82, what's the reference to the Word of God?
Mine eyes fail for thy Word.
Say it real loud.
Mine eyes fail for thy Word.
Okay, verse 83. Again, it may not be the word "word." It may be some. Okay. Okay, verse 84.
Judgment.
Huh?
Judgment.
85. Read the phrase. 85.
Your law.
Not after your law. Verse 86. All your commandments. Verse 87. Okay, and verse 88.
Testimony.
Okay, excellent. Okay, now you're seeing what I'm now. You just do that exercise just so you can see that all of those, there's about 10 different words that make reference. So you can go through and you can read the next one. You can read the first 10. You can go back and read the first 10. All right? I'm encouraging you to do that, to take this particular psalm, do that. You can do one section a day that's helpful to do, and just slow down. I always encourage people to slow down. You know, when they're reading their Bible reading, okay, read it. Thank you, Jesus. It's kind of like taking your morning one-a-day vitamin. You pop it in, swallow it, and run. Amen? Yeah. But what you want to do is slow down. Just take those things. Just, "Lord, what is that? What is that? What is that?" Do a little word study on it. That's all we're doing. Father, we just give you praise. Thank you for your love today. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the power of God that's in us and changing us and making us new. Father, we thank you that this Word of God transforms us out of the kingdom of darkness. You have translated us, moved us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. Out of the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous light. So Father, we thank you today. We just ask you to show us our wickedness and our sins that are in our flesh so that we might receive, number one, forgiveness, which you've already provided, which you do not withhold. You just said, ask me. You said, confess your sin. And you are faithful and just to forgive it and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, then we meditate upon your promises. We read your word and we say, okay, God, you are for me and not against me. And every day we give you glory and thanks and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, say it. I cast all of my cares upon you right now. Because you care for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, God is good. He's really good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jack, are we doing communion today?
Sorry?
I said, we're doing community today?
We don't have
none. Okay, no problem. We'll do it again next time. Praise the Lord. All right, as we're giving, we'll just, Father, we thank you for our giving this morning. Thank you that you provide all of our needs. And we, as we give into the kingdom of heaven, that your word is always building us up. And Father, we thank you that the word of God is going out all over the world through messages and through the testimony of you and me. And Father, we just give you glory and thanks as we give today. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Anybody have a testimony or something, anything you want to say or shout about? Or yes, sir?
I was blessed today.
Well,
thank you for your sermon.
Praise the Lord.
Started off with coming in here and hearing Joe talk, and then went right into the song about his deeds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all she was doing, was testifying of his deeds.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise God. Perfect. Thank you, Jesus.
David,
yes, Joe. I'm just telling you what I do know. I don't know the whole Bible. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Well, thank God he's good. If we all just show up, you know, God will get his agenda performed. Amen. Jose, good to have you here this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else want to say just any other testimony of thanks?
You know, I love the last verse that you shared. That really got me. Quicken me according to your loving kindness.
Mm-hmm.
That I might keep your testimony.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Amen.
Because that's the only way it can happen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good. Hey, brother, you just walked in. Good to have you.
Thanks for welcoming me.
Amen. What's your name?
Rob. I'm here. I got here this week on Tuesday. I don't have a house of business till Thursday, so I said you have a service, so I came in.
Awesome.
Well, praise. Actually, your words were very good. So.
Well, praise the Lord. Perfect. Well, thank you for coming in and introducing yourself, Rob.
Rod.
Okay, great. Yeah, we got a Rod. He's up in Minnesota or something. All right, let's stand up together. If you need prayer this morning for anything, you can turn to your neighbor and just ask him to pray for you. I'm here to pray for you if you need prayer and you want me to pray for you, I'll lay hands on you. We believe that God heals the sick and that He meets financial needs and that He takes care of everything that concerns us. The scripture said He'll perfect that which concerns me. Amen. So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.